got it handy. Mike Neal and Brady Pipinga will both have season-ending surgery. Mike Neal has his surgery tomorrow. Brady Pipinga's hasn't been set, but it'll be here in the near future, probably next 7 to 10 days. Colin Jenkins had a calf strain. Do not have his prognosis for the week yet, so he's possible for the Jets. Brad Jones had a shoulder sprain, and Ryan Pickett had an ankle sprain, same ankle, went out there in the seventh play of the game. I know we talked about Nick Collins yesterday. His status is the same.
Mike, with Pinga, did he have a scope on Monday? And then
Brady had a scope on Monday, and it's the same knee that he had the reconstruction surgery done 4 or 5 years. That was my first year here. They found there's more damage than what they're able to correct on the initial scope. So he's in the process of seeking a second opinion, but it's pretty clear that he's going to have season-ending surgery.
Does he? I know you love specifics, but does he need reconstruction again or no?
Frankly, I mean, just like, this is always. I'm not trying to. I think those are questions more for the player if he wants to get into the specifics of his knee injury. But it's going to require season-ending surgery.
Did the Neal injury come as a surprise to you guys, or did you suspect that?
We knew the extent of the injury right away, and it's to his shoulder, and sometimes you're able to rehab and play through that. So that's not the case with Mike. It's severe enough, and everybody's in agreement. They feel that we need to go in and fix it. So and it happened in the Washington game. So we've obviously tried it here the last 2 weeks.
The big field goal, I remember back in late August, watching you guys run some runs out there. Obviously, everybody knows it's a different holder. So now that you've done it, is that something that you probably can't use again? Because every time they see him run out there, they know it's not a regular holder.
Are you going to tell the other team if he runs out there? I mean. Well, I don't know. It worked. So, no, I'm just kidding. But you have to look at that. I mean, we were really trying to carry over the fact that Matt Flynn was a holder at one time. So I don't think it's out of the, totally out of the norm that he was a holder. Now, I watched the way their defense reacted to it. It looked like they were more, in tune with trying to get lined up and getting their coverage set than who the holder was. So if they realized that, maybe they did. I'm not saying they didn't, but. I don't think that's something that we're going to run five times this year, to answer your question, but because obviously Matt's not the holder. But it's something that was put in last year when he had holding responsibility, and we just carried it on. And Andrew's been running that particular pattern now since the injury to JaMychal in Washington. So it was a big play opportunity. We just didn't execute it.
Can you talk a little more about the effort CJ, BJ, and Jerry's gave you last night?
Yeah, I think it's clearly one of the highlights of our win yesterday, and I can't say enough about Mike Turgeback and that young defensive line group. You lose Colin Jenkins, half an hour after the inactives go in, and so you're dressing with 44 players, and you knew Ryan Pickett was going to be in a limited, limited focus, and I think he played 7 plays in a game. So those 3 young men played the whole game. I think BJ played 60-something snaps. BJ's played a lot of football for us so far this year, and I can't say enough about CJ and Jarius. I thought they got better as the game went on. I thought both those young players grew up a lot in the game, and they obviously was their plan to run right at us, and we kept them out of the end zone, and those 3 guys were a big part of it.
Mike, is that the kind of thing that, you talk about when you have injuries that guys have to step up and no one feels sorry for you? Are those the kind of performances by those guys and Corliss catching the touchdown that when you have injuries, that's exactly what you need, is for young guys to kind of grow up quickly and do that kind of thing for you?
I agree with your point. I think it's an excellent point, and that's where we are. And it's our responsibility to create those opportunities, and it's the responsibilities of the decision maker, and particularly the quarterback on offense, and you know, and the linebackers on defense to trust those individuals in those positions. Because what happens is when players start getting outside the scheme, you know, they may make a play here or there, but, you know, 7-8 times out of 10, it just creates more problems. So trust is a word that's used and it's very important in many different forms and fashions in a game of football. And especially when you have new players stepping in, and you have to trust the scheme, you have to trust the individual that he's going to do his part.
Mike, you guys are 4-3 right now. You have a share of the division lead. What's your outlook right now? I mean, the season may not have gone to maybe the way you planned it out, but it's still all out there for you. Is that kind of how it feels?
I don't really get caught up in, you know, 7-game evaluations. We keep track, very close tabs of what we're doing well, things we need to improve on. You know, stay focused on our preparation. Huge believer in you have to practice and prepare a certain way each week. It carries over into the game. I don't think there's any mistake on the fact that we had probably one of our better practice weeks this week, where we were able to tie it together, where we had players that practiced Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday that, you know, end up playing in the games. So you also have, you know, a player like Charles Woodson that with his personal situation and missed a significant amount of time and still went out and played at a high level. So we're just pulling some things together. It's a good win. It's an excellent win as far as a big dose of confidence. It comes with a division win and everything is surrounding this game. So, but it's over. It's something that we're on to the Jets. You know, they're a very good football team. They're playing very well. They're going to be fresh and it'll be a big challenge for Sunday.
Mike, but how can you use a win like that? I mean, the flip side, the season's not over if you lose and fall to 3-4, but, you know, then you've lost 4 games by 3 points each, and things are pretty tough around here. What kinds of things can you take off of this and build off of and kind of try to create some momentum?
Jason, I'm the point man of this deal. I don't swing left to right like that. You know, I'm not in front. I do not change. It's not my personality. I believe it's ineffective to swing with the emotion, the criticism, or even on the other side of it, when something, you know, everybody feels extremely positive is happening. I don't think you run around with your pom poms this week. That's the last thing that I'm going to do. I mean, it's important for us everybody had a chance to enjoy the win last night, and I'm sure everybody feels good today. It was easier coming to work today than it was last week, and that's our business. You know, winning's important. A lot of good things come off of winning, but it's on to the next one. I mean, it's as simple as that. I wish I had some fancy words up here to make you feel better. I could answer your question better, but that's what you got, and that's what I am.
Well, it's one thing that you're that way, though. You got 25-year-old kids, though, that maybe are a little more emotional than you. What do you do with? How do you make sure that they use it in a positive way and build on it? I guess.
Well, it's all part of how you know you got to set the tempo and the plan every week. You know. A big part of coaching is you're a teacher and a salesman. You know, you have to sell that plan, sell that path every single week. It's just, you can't just go up and give a good speech at the beginning of the year and just roll the ball out there. It doesn't work that way. And today's athlete's different. You know, I think they're very educated. They're very in tune. The social networking is unbelievable. Some things I don't even know how to work, but I'm in tune with what's out there. But it's important for us to stay focused on the next opponent, and that's our approach.
Mike, how close were you to activating Al Harris and/or Atari Bigby?
I thought they both had a good week of practice, so I know they're chomping at the bit. We'll actually, as a staff, that's something we'll talk about tonight and tomorrow to try to have a plan there. It's encouraging to see our secondary with so many names on the boards so healthy, because that's something that was a contrast to last year. So we just want to make sure it all fits together, and because special teams plays a big part in this too. It's just not about, you know, activate now and Atari to play on defense. So it'll definitely affect how we move forward on special teams too. So that's what we need to work through.
Mike, what was happening on some of those miscommunications? The out routes thrown up or the up routes thrown out?
Well, really, we just had the one where they jumped into, we call it 55, two-man, and, you know, the route adjustment between the receiver and the quarterback, we weren't on the same page. But we had a couple back shoulder throws that, you know, the timing and the throw were just, were not what you look for. The one out to Aaron's left, frankly, was a protection declaration that wasn't done right. And Aaron was just getting the ball out early because Winfield was free off the slot. I think it was Winfield was coming free. So, but you know, I would say two of them were just more timing and, you know, as far as back shoulder or throwing off the field, and the only one that was really a route adjustment, because I know Andrew Kramer, you know, asked me extensively about it at halftime, and you know, I didn't see it the way she saw it, but then, you know, watching the film, I could see why the question was asked.
Can you talk about your screen game last night? It probably hasn't been one of your better plays this year, maybe even last year, but you ran three or four of them pretty successfully.
Well, see, the problem is you guys got to do a better job evaluating our screen play, because our screen play isn't just, we don't just line up and throw a screen to the back. There's a little more to that. So sometimes we're, I'll just say this, for ourselves, Scott, and our productivity, the screen game has been very good. It's been very good, really, the last couple of years here. So, and it always doesn't go to the screen back. But, you know, just really, I thought we hit on all of them. The timing was off between the quarterback and the running back on the interception. But other than that, I thought we were very effective. I thought Donald Lee did an excellent job, and Brandon Jackson was outstanding. So very pleased with the production of the screens last night.
On the second interception, obviously moving to the right. Is there anywhere else you can go with that ball, or is he just throwing it away?
Well, it's you know, buyer beware. It's, you know, you make that decision, you better be right. And I fully understand and see what he saw. I mean, he saw Greg Jennings on a matchup that he thought was favorable, and he took the shot with the ball. So, and Frank Walker made a good play on the ball. So, I mean, it's that big play opportunity, the ability to extend plays, which you have to do against that defense. They're very sound. They play on time. They play their scheme very good, and it all starts with that front four. So, when you come out of the pocket like that to extend plays, you're going to have some shots up the field. It's, you know, something we talked about and we looked at, where you're not going to get the traditional 44, 45-yard go route. It's going to be more of an up the field, down the field type throw, and that's why Aaron took that shot there.
Mike, how did you think?
Excuse me? I thought our tackles, both Brian and Chad, played very well. They did a good job. We put it on them as part of the plan, that we needed to control their ends, and we felt like we accomplished that in that game. So, very pleased with Brian's performance.
Mike, you said after the game yesterday that maybe you haven't given Brandon Jackson the ball as much as he deserved it lately. I mean, have you tried to make a more concerted effort to give him?
Well, we roll those guys. So, and I think it's important too, and it's something that was brought up this morning, and I talked with the coaches, is, you know, when a player gets the hot hand, we're so detailed on, you know, who's playing where, and, you know, as far as our rotation of personnel and so forth, I think we do an exceptional job in the exit with the, you know, and also to play with the tempo that we do. But, you know, when I thought that was Brian's best game that I've seen him play. I thought Pittsburgh was a statement game for him last year when he played in that game, but I thought he played a complete football game. And I just think it's important when you have someone that's playing at that level, you want to give them a couple more opportunities. So, as far as him getting the ball more, that was more for you guys.
Do you see a confidence and a comfort coming from him now compared to a week two when he took over as a guy?
Totally. I think it's an excellent observation. I thought he played at a high level. I thought he played tough. I mean, just the burst he showed on the sideline there, on the long run, the long screen. I thought, like I said, I think that's the best game that I've, in my opinion, I thought that was his best game as a Packer.
Mike, what do you think of, everyone saw the great play by Bishop for the touchdown. What do you think about how he played overall? That's a guy that's waited for an opportunity for a pretty long time.
Definitely. And it's paid off. I mean, he's ready. I'm sure he felt that he was ready a long time ago. And it's all part of the, you know, the course that we're on as a football team. You know, when players get opportunities, they step up and play. And, you know, I thought, again, because, I mean, not to take away anything from Desmond, but I thought Desmond and AJ both played very well last night, and they've done a very good job in there, and you know, we feel very comfortable with those guys, both base and sub, and it's a, you know, it's a credit to Winston Moss and just the way those guys work. So Desmond's making a lot of plays that are very productive. And that was, obviously a huge impact play in the game.
Mike, could you say how your play action game went, and could you see any difference in how the linebackers maybe were staying up or anything? Did they start to respect Brandon a little bit more than what you've seen in recent games? Was there any difference?
Yeah, I thought that we hit the target on how we wanted to call the game. I was going into the game, and frankly, the play action was good. The three-step drop, it was there. Could have probably threw some more of that, but the only thing that's holding us back on offense is giveaways and third down. And I thought we hit the mark on third down last night. We had a couple that we felt that we just left out there on the field, but I think we were 55% third down, and that's our key. And we're still not where we need to be as far as total plays, but we're giving the ball away too much, and that's been our issue all year. And when we take care of the football and we're productive on third down, good things happen for our offense, and creates better point production. The ball gets spread around. Everybody's happy. Third down was an improvement. But the two giveaways were a big part of it. As far as the play action, I thought they read their keys. I mean, they don't change. It starts with that front seven. A lot of experience, and as far as running the football and you're able to get out on the perimeter with the one naked. I'm just trying to think through some of the plays while you asked the question, Tom. But I thought it was productive.
Your thoughts on Pat Lee and how he's doing returning games?
Pat Lee's done a good job. I tell you, he's doing a good job with the return game. He's pouring it up in there. We felt that we were going to be in good field position, with the depth of their kicker, on the kickoffs. So, very pleased with the kickoff return. I thought those guys did a good job, and Pat, he's hitting the course, and he's done a nice job the last couple of weeks. So. Winning the field position battle was obviously important in that game.
And Mike, in preseason, I was talking to Joe Witt, and he said that Tremont Williams was your best cover guy. And here, Woodson's coming off Defensive Player of the Year, and kind of raised an eyebrow at it. But what do you think of the way that guy's playing right now?
You watch the tape, and you look at the grades. He's graded out very high every week. So, and he's a good punt returner too. So. Tremont is a little bit of your poster child for us. He's a young man that came here, was given an opportunity, and he's just worked from the first day he arrived, and he continues to do so. He's a tremendous professional. He's very detailed in his preparation, and he's playing at a very, very high level right now. There are some things that technical things we felt that he needed to improve on from last year to this year, and he's getting that done. Particularly the tackling, but. I think Tremont Williams is having an excellent year.
Mike, on that, you were talking about third downs. On that third and two, I think Aaron took a shot down.
Fourth quarter?
Yeah. Were you okay with that, or were you want something else?
Yeah, I think we got to be a little more completion conscious here.
Did you consider picking a field goal there on the fourth and one? Fourth?
That was an option. Actually, it was my first reaction based on the spot of the ball. But that's a gray area call. You could punt the ball too, based on the way your defense is playing, because they had the two turnovers, and I felt that we were in good shape there. But I did feel like our defense was on the field a long time. I was concerned, obviously going into the game that especially when they went so heavy running the ball that they were. Going to have the potential wearing us down, so that was all part of my thinking, because I had plenty, with the measurement and everything, I had plenty of time to think about it. So it really came down to going for it on fourth or kicking a field goal.
Did you see the improvement you wanted from your punter from last week?
Absolutely. He had the chance to play the field position, and I thought he did a nice job. I thought Tim did a good job, and I thought Mason did a good job on the kicks. We just had the one kickoff that hit the front line player, but other than that. The one kickoff return that they had come out. Our coverage, we're going right into that, and that shouldn't happen. We had two cover guys lost their lane integrity, and Harvin was able to bounce the second one out there. But other than that, I thought the coverage units did a very good job.
Mike,
I thought Lemon was the house yesterday.
I'm sorry?
How limited was he yesterday? And do you expect him to go through a full week practice?
I couldn't tell you. I mean, that's something that we'll have to look at on Wednesday. I mean, he looked fine on the film, so he didn't have the opportunities yesterday that the other guys did. But he actually played more plays than I anticipated because just coming, you know, Donald doesn't miss practice, so it's really hurting him if he goes to net mode because he's an old school pro. He does, like I said, he doesn't miss very much, but we'll hopefully get him back full time this week.
Who got your game balls?
Game balls: AJ Hawk on defense, Brandon Jackson on offense, Anthony Smith on special teams, and the big hit award was Jared Bush.
Mike, do you think are you concerned about Jenkins's pull? I mean, do you have any idea?
Yeah, I am concerned. I mean, it's the same leg. I mean, it's the calf strain. And just the way it happened is it's definitely something to be concerned about. And so we'll just wait and see how he comes through it. I was told that he is questionable. If I had to give him a status, he would be questionable for this week.
When he went out, did you have to change anything or a lot about what you planned?
We really didn't have any choice. You've already hit in the inactives. So.
Well, I mean in terms of game plan.
Well, yeah, it took us out of base. We went into exclusive sub defense game, so because we just knew Ryan, it was going to be limited. You know, I don't think it would have been practical for Ryan Pickett to play 40 snaps in that game, you know, coming off of his injury. So and then he played seven. So I mean, he tried to get it out, but it just wasn't right. Because I mean, you could see it on the first double team with Ryan Pickett. He doesn't get moved out on double teams, and you could just see right away that the ankle wasn't. It wasn't right.
What kind of defensive lineman does T.J. Lang make?
Well, he played better last week. You know, he must have saw someone do an arm over move in practice or something because he tried that a few times. But he played better last week than he did this week. But T.J.'s a tough kid, and we got to coach him up a little more.